You may be seated. Yes, what a great opportunity we have as we come together as a church family here and look forward to all the events of the day. And we are welcoming in 12 new members today, so we are excited about that and look forward to that celebration during our members' meeting. Well, I don't know about you, but I admire anyone who is accomplished and proficient in a particular area of life. It could be an Olympic athlete like Simone Biles, just amazing things that she does and the records she has broken, or a musician like our own Daryl Cornell, who plays the piano so well, and it could be a seamstress or a craftsman or a business owner, a teacher or professor. And we might ask ourselves, how in the world did they achieve such success or proficiency? It's just amazing what some folks can do. Have you ever said, I just don't seem to stay on track? It seems like I'm so up and down. How can I ever gain stability in my life? Well, I would say that such accomplishments are achieved in no small part through the matter of discipline. Now, the very word discipline conjures up all kinds of notions throughout the worship center, even here this morning, right? And some might think it's kind of a four-letter word, like, here we go, we're going to talk about punishment, like the punishment a parent toward a child or the punishment you receive at school. Some may think of heartache over someone in the church who has strayed. We call that church discipline. Some might think of the hard work and sweat that it takes to learn a skill or to become proficient at a task like an instrument or like an Olympic athlete, as we mentioned just a few moments ago. And the discipline that it takes day in, day out, hours in a day in order to become accomplished in that particular area. Well, the Hebrew word discipline occurs over 30 times in the book of Proverbs. Take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 1, where we're continuing our series through Proverbs, Living Life with Purpose. And this morning we're looking at Proverbs on a disciplined life. The word discipline occurs over 30 times in the book of Proverbs. King James uses the word instruction or chastening. Sometimes you'll see the word correction. Solomon points out that discipline is one way that God protects our fellowship with Him, referring to His discipline. Solomon also discusses parental discipline as well as what's commonly called self-discipline. So discipline is a broad subject throughout the book of Proverbs. Jay Adams, in his little booklet, Godliness Through Discipline, and I have a few copies of these. They're out at the Welcome Center if you would be interested. We're just asking that you pitch in a dollar to help with that. But he defines discipline as sustained daily effort. Isn't that a good definition? Discipline, a sustained daily effort. So here's your take-home thought this morning, and that is a disciplined life is essential to living to the glory of God. I don't know if you've ever thought about it that way. But a disciplined life is essential to living to the glory of God. Now, this is commonly called self-discipline. And if I refer to it as self-discipline, I want to be careful with that in light of last week's study on humility, right? Because we might look at it and we might think, oh, hey, look what I did, or look how good I am in what I've accomplished. So we need to guard against any pride that, quote-unquote, self-discipline might foster in the sense of, wow, look at me, look at what I've accomplished through my ability to discipline myself, when in fact, it's a matter of, look what God has accomplished in and through me, enabling me to apply biblical principles of a disciplined lifestyle to my life. And you do that by God's enablement. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? I can do it. I need to do it. But I can only do it through Christ who gives me the strength to do that. It's been said there's tremendous freedom in structure and discipline. You know, you think, you look at the likes of Daryl and Janie and our other instrumentalists, and you think, oh, man, look at, they're just, you know, you watch them, and sometimes they're just kind of like, you know, it seems like they're out thinking about something else, and they're right on tune, you know. How do they do that? There's such freedom in that. Oh, I wish I could do that. Well, that was accomplished through structure and discipline. That's how they were able to do that. And so there's tremendous freedom in that structure and discipline. The lack of discipline is really constraining and binds you up. Now, what kind of areas of life am I talking about? And to what could you apply this disciplined life to in your life? Well, things like, how about managing finances? Does it take discipline to do that? Guarding against impulse buying, credit card spending? How about sexuality? It certainly takes discipline to remain faithful, to remain pure. How about time management, scheduling? Recreation, have you ever thought about disciplining, being disciplined in the area of recreation, and keeping that in balance with the rest of life? How about worship? How about parent-child discipline? Exercise, dieting, proper rest, Bible study, godly habits, giving of your tithes and offering. How about a biblical work ethic, job proficiency, studying and schooling, developing and using your gifts, skills, and abilities to the honor and glory of God? See, discipline applies to many areas of life. So wherever you are here today, you can take these principles and they will help you in your life. And the importance of developing a disciplined lifestyle. Even child discipline is based upon the goal of bringing your children up to make godly decisions based upon a disciplined lifestyle. In other words, proper parental discipline will result in your child developing a disciplined lifestyle. Solomon spent a little time on God's discipline. He spent a little more time on that parent-child discipline. We're not going to talk so much about that today. He gave most of his attention to this matter of self-discipline or developing a disciplined life. And he refers to it as giving attention to instruction, disciplining yourself. So here's a couple thoughts. The first main thought here is to note the importance of a disciplined lifestyle. We want to talk about the importance of a disciplined lifestyle. For you and me to see the value of this. We know what it takes. We know that it takes sustained daily effort. But why is it so important? What is important about this? Chapter 1, verse 8. You should already be there. Look at verse 8. Hear, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. It's referring to discipline. Give attention to it. Don't let it get away from you. Don't forsake it. Keep going in the discipline of your parents. Discipline yourself in your parents' instruction. So you need to hear instruction here. Hear the instruction. Give attention to these matters here today. And so Proverbs is full of direction on a disciplined lifestyle. As you look at this, you need to realize that discipline is a way of life. Discipline, get it in your mind that discipline is a part of life, as we've talked about. And it's not just the punitive thought about that. It is the idea of living this disciplined life. It's a way of life. Chapter 4, verse 13. Look at chapter 4 and verse 13. By the way, if you have YouVersion, these are all looked up for you. But chapter 4, verse 13. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let it go. Guard her, for she is your life. Who's the she? Instruction. Instruction. It's your way of life. Chapter 6, verses 23 and 24. Chapter 6, over a page or so, 23 and 24. For the commandment, verse 23, the commandment is a lamp and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life, or the way to living a full-orbed life, to preserve you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. And it takes discipline to remain faithful. And he talks about there in chapter 6. And then chapter 7, we're not going to take time to look at that. But in chapter 7, he shows the consequences of someone who does not live a disciplined life. How do you win over seduction? How do you not be led astray by the seduction of someone coming your way? Well, by a disciplined mind. And now, you know, in our day, it's not so much maybe here in Troy where you walk down the street and someone might say, "Yoo-hoo, over here," you know. It's not that. It's the click of a button on the internet, right? And you're looking at something totally quote-unquote innocent, and all of a sudden there's this little ad dancing over in the corner, and you're like, kind of like, "Whoa, okay, what's that all about?" It's going to take discipline not to go toward that. That's what he's talking about here. The discipline of your mind, your eyes, your body, where you go, what you say, how you act, how you dress. It takes discipline. Disciplined living becomes your way of life manifested in spiritual areas like regular Bible reading, scripture memory, prayer, church attendance, reading helpful theological materials, and godly living, as well as everyday areas like schedule, diet, exercise, finances. So go to school in your life on whatever area it is with which you may struggle and realize, you know what? In order to overcome, in order to be victorious, it's going to take discipline. And I want to encourage you that it's not a nasty word. Because this is the direction that God's giving you on how to be victorious, how to live an abundant life. We'll get to that in a little bit. But go to school on handling the challenges and trials of life. Learn to practice, be faithful in the small trials. Become disciplined in those little areas so that when the Goliaths do come, you can stand against them. And they will come, right? You know as well as I do that there are those daily frustrations. You know, you drop a pen or a pencil, it flips out of your hand, or you drop a bar of soap in the shower. It's like, ugh. I've had to really work on that kind of thing. Because, you don't think it's that big a deal to get frustrated and angry over those little things. But in mastering your frustrations over the little things are going to help you in overcoming the fender benders. When someone in the family calls and says, "I was in an accident." Rather than go, "Oh man, what? How's the car? Is there a dent in the car?" To be more concerned about, "Are you okay?" Right? It takes discipline. Or when you hear the prognosis from the doctor, it isn't quite what you had hoped for. Discipline yourself in the not getting frustrated and angry over the little things so that when those things come your way, they don't overwhelm you when the big things come your way. So discipline yourself to handle difficulties well so that you are bringing glory to God. Here's some more instruction on discipline. Discipline involves making wise choices. Not only is it your life and it becomes your lifestyle, but it helps you in making wise choices. Look at chapter 8, verse 10, 10 through 13. "Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil, pride and arrogance in the way of evil, and perverted speech I hate." Did you catch the importance of wise decisions here? Making wise choices? Do you know anybody who seems to continually get into trouble? You know, it's just like they're always getting into a difficult situation. And it's often because they continually make foolish choices, right? You see, if you always do what you always did, you'll always get what you always got, right? Someone said the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. If you always do what you always did, you always get what you always got. So what this is talking about is change. There are those who just keep making the poor choices that get them into the difficult situations, and they're overwhelmed. And so what it's calling for here is you need to make a change in the way you are doing things, specifically in the area of the choices or decisions that you make. And you start making wise choices based on biblical truths and biblical principles. That's one reason God has given them, so you discipline yourselves to your life to discover those, so that when you are confronted with those difficult situations, you say, okay, what biblical principle applies to this situation that's going to help me? And you discipline your thinking to start discovering those things and applying those truths to life. That's God's Word speaking. That's God speaking to you to help you make those decisions, to give you direction in those things. Proverbs speaks of four sons. If you read through Proverbs, it talks about the fool or the foolish son, the scorner or mocker, depending on the version that you have, it'll refer to the scorner or mocker. The third one is the simple one, and then the wise son. Now, we should all be aspiring to be a wise child of God, right? The simple one is easily led astray, and is most often led astray by the mocker or scorner. It just has a scorn instruction. The fool, we probably don't have any fools here today. All right, the fool. I just want to give you a little insight on the fool. God desires all of us to make wise biblical choices. He wants us to be wise children of His. But the fool does not learn from his mistakes and becomes a habit of ignoring wise counsel, choosing a way other than God's. So first of all, the fool is not inclined to wisdom. When it comes to these choices, the fool is not inclined to wisdom. Proverbs 1, verse 7. I'm going to give you a few extra verses here. And these next few points on the fool are not in your outline. But the fool is not inclined to wisdom. Proverbs 1, 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. That's why I say there probably aren't any fools here today. Now, there may be some who are acting foolishly in some areas in their life, and so take this instruction to heart. The point here is you don't want to go the way of the fool. Proverbs 17:16. Why should a fool have money in his hand to buy wisdom when he has no sense? That's S-E-N-S-E. All right. It's foolish for a fool to spend money on education because they're just going to party it away, right? Proverbs 23:9. Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the good sense of your words. The fool is a know-it-all. The fool, and maybe you know people like that. It's like, you know, Yeah. I know. They just know everything. You're not going to teach me anything. That's the kind of an attitude that a fool has. The wise son receives instruction, wants to hear it. And maybe they already have heard it, already know it, but they're like, okay, there might be a little nugget that I can gain from this. So the fool is not inclined to wisdom. The fool is defiant and won't change. Chapter 17 and verse 10. Proverbs 17:10, the fool is defiant and won't change. A rebuke goes deeper into a man of understanding than 100 blows into a fool. The fool will stare right through you when you try to give correction or instruction. The fool doesn't have a learner spirit. The fool doesn't learn from past failures. This is huge. The fool doesn't learn from past failures or discipline. Maybe a child. It may even be a disciplined church member, but Proverbs 26, verse 11. By the way, Proverbs 26 talks a lot about the fool. You can read through there, you can see a lot of things on foolish behavior and characteristics of a fool. But Proverbs 26, verse 11, like a dog that returns to his vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. Isn't that gross? I mean, what a vivid word picture here. You know, I'll spare you the sound effects. But the point there is, you know, the dog vomits and then you've seen it. It's like, oh, get away from there, you know. And she just keeps wanting to go back. The Scripture gives every hope for change. I want you to know, if you are struggling in a particular area in your life here today, and it's like, oh, as I started out today, have you ever like, man, I just keep getting off track. I keep getting off track. Scripture gives every hope for change through the power of God and these principles of which we speak here today, as amongst other principles, every hope for change. But the fool says, I can't. Or I won't. I'm happy with the way I am. That's foolish. The fool says, I know what the Bible says, but... I know what the Bible says, but you've heard me say before, there are no yeah buts in the Bible, right? No yeah buts in the Bible. A vivid illustration of foolishness or a fool in the Bible is Pharaoh. In Exodus chapter 5 and verse 2, he said, who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord and I will not let Israel go. It's foolish. How many people that you may know have had that attitude? I will not obey the Lord. It's sad. And it's foolish. And even after all of the plagues, and after Pharaoh himself lost his firstborn son, when he realized, oh my goodness, I've let Israel go. What have we done? He pursued them. He chased after them to try to get them back right in and through the Red Sea. And it cost him his life. It's foolish. Don't go the way of Pharaoh. Don't go the way of the fool. The fool sins with confidence. The fool sins with confidence. Look at Proverbs 14 and verse 6. Proverbs 14, verse 16, excuse me. Proverbs 14, verse 16. One who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is reckless and careless. You know anybody like that? You know, it's like they don't think. They just plow right on through. They don't think about the consequences of their actions. And oftentimes it comes across like they're happy-go-lucky, and some people think, the simple one thinks, oh man, I'd like to be like that, you know? And is easily led astray. Proverbs 14, verse 9. Proverbs 14 and verse 9. Fools mock at the guilt offering. We're going to have communion here in just a little bit. And there may be some who may sit here. We do this once a month. If you're not familiar with this, we do this once a month. It's a remembrance of what Jesus did for us. He paid the guilt offering on our behalf. There may be some who might be here today going, oh, man, what's this all about? I'm trying to tell you, okay? This is important for us to remember what Jesus did for us, to provide the salvation that all of the principles of discipline we're talking about here today are worthless, as Jeremy already pointed out. Our righteousness are as filthy rags. It's worthless apart from Jesus Christ. And salvation, becoming a child of God, is essential as you understand what He accomplished for you and me on the cross. We can help you with that. That's the starting point of a disciplined life. The fool sins with confidence. The fool is undisciplined. The fool is just an undisciplined individual. And all that being said, the wise, however, are disciplined to make biblical decisions consistently. This is when we have to discipline ourselves to do so. That's why we have weekly and even at other times through the week here at FBC, why we have opportunities for you to learn, whether it's through our Wednesday night Bible studies, our men of faith, our ladies Bible studies. Teresa teaches one. Heidi teaches Mom Strong. We have our life groups. We have these opportunities to learn, but it's not just a matter of soaking in knowledge. It's a matter of taking that and applying it to a disciplined lifestyle so that you can think through biblical principles as you go through your life and all of these other areas of which I've spoken. Further instruction on discipline. All that being said, it takes discipline to hate evil, right? Look at chapter 8, verses 12 and 13. Because as we sang just a little bit ago, and my heart, as I pondered my life, my heart is prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Can you relate? It's like, oh my goodness. I mean, I can be just whistling along a merry way and loving God and so on, and something catches your eye or whatever it is, and it's like, oh, I can't believe it. But it takes discipline to hate evil because our hearts are, we live in this flesh that is easily distracted. Proverbs 8, 12 and 13. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance in the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. Can you say that? You might be here like, yes, I want to say that. I want to say that, but so often I choose the way of evil when I know I shouldn't. And that's when we cry out to God, moment by moment, day by day. Because evil lures, our hearts are habituated to evil because we live in this flesh. But yet, now that we are in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And we need to live in light of that newness of life through Jesus Christ. It's accomplished through the power of God in us. Romans 13, 14 says, do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. It takes discipline. You have to... Okay, at any time where your thoughts or minds, I mean, there are times when I'm getting ready to preach and this stupid thought will come into my mind. I'm like, I have to discipline my mind to think, God, I'm going to preach your word. I just want you to know I'm there with you. And it takes discipline to think godly thoughts. And not allow your mind to flop around out there. That's why he says, gird up the loins of your minds. Don't let your mind flop around out there and think about anything you want. No, discipline your thinking and bring into captivity every thought and make it obedient to Christ. It takes discipline. It takes discipline to hate evil. I want to encourage you that there's blessing in discipline. You've experienced this, I'm sure, as I have. There's blessing in discipline. Chapter 13 and verse 18. Chapter 13 and verse 18. Poverty and disgrace come to him who ignores instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is honored. Discipline takes the long view. We so often want things to happen right now, right away. But discipline says, no, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7 says to discipline your lives to godliness. That's the idea of this book here, this little booklet. Discipline your lives for godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, especially in this life. Bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that it now is and of that which is to come. In other words, if you discipline your life in the here and now, there's going to be some benefit to that. I guarantee it. And I exercise. And many of you exercise. And I go over to the fitness center here. I run through the park. And there's some benefit to that. I put on a pair of pants this morning. I go, oh, man, how long have we had these pants? You know, and I'm like, oh, man. Okay, I'll try and everything. She says, there's another black pair in the closet. I said, I'm going to get those. You know, it's like, whew, I like these a lot better, you know. So, got to watch it. It takes discipline to do that, right? So there's some benefit, you know, your clothes fit or whatever it is, or you feel better. There's some benefit to that, but I'm here to tell you that the eternal benefits of living a disciplined life far outweighs anything here. And the discipline in godliness is what matters most. Discipline takes the long view. The undisciplined lifestyle misses out. Chapter 15, verse 32. Chapter 15, verse 32. I know we're jumping around here, but I want you to get a full picture of this. Chapter 15, verse 32. Whoever ignores instruction despises himself, but he who listens to reproof gains intelligence. A lack of discipline can lead to physical debilitation, financial debilitation, moral and spiritual debilitation. Think about it. If you discipline yourself in any area of life, you will improve in that area. If it pleases God, you can't lose. To merely hope that it happens without effort means that you will decline. Oh, I wish I was in better shape. If I just laid around and wished I was in better shape, I'd never get in shape, right? We accept that in so many other areas of our lives. But when it comes to godliness, we still hope, we just want it to kind of come by osmosis. Lay our Bible under our pillow and hope we gain all the knowledge of God and His Word, right? We have to discipline ourselves even in the matter of godliness. And to say, I wish I knew the Bible better, or I wish I could kick a certain habit, it takes a decision first, a commitment to change, a willingness to follow through, whether you feel like it or not. That's key. I don't know that I got up any morning this week and thought, I really am looking forward to my workout. Now, thankfully, I have disciplined myself in the reading and study of the Word where I do look forward to those times. But there are some mornings where I think, there are other things I need to get done. I need to take time with God. It takes discipline. So, note the importance of a disciplined lifestyle. But then look, secondly, at the benefits. Look at the benefits of a disciplined life. The benefits of a disciplined life. First of all, if you're disciplined, you will have a good reputation. I'm going to bring this point out and talk about Bob this afternoon during the funeral service. A good reputation. Proverbs 19:20. This is a key verse, by the way, in the book of Proverbs. A key verse, Proverbs 19 and verse 20. Listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. The NIV says, and in the end you will be wise. Listen to advice and accept instruction, and in the end you will be wise. You'll have a good reputation. It has the idea that you will be respected as wise. If you're known as a learner, you will have a reputation of being wise. You will be respected as a wise person as opposed to being a know-it-all. Another benefit, you will have an abundant life. Look at chapter 4, Go back to chapter 4, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 13. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let it go. Guard her, for she is your life. Instruction is your life. Chapter 5, just over a page there, verse 23. He dies for lack of discipline. And because of his great folly, he's led astray. Without discipline, ultimately we die. So the benefit is you have an abundant life. You'll have a full-orbed life. And I know that when I'm disciplined in a particular area of my life, it helps me in other areas. You'll have an abundant life. If you're disciplined, you will resist evil and evil people. Chapter 19, 27, I think we've read this. Cease to hear instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. You'll guard against being led astray, to being sucked in. Like the simple one. The simple one sees the evil of the foolish or the mocker, and they're just kind of like, they're curious, and they go after that. The wise son sees the evil, sees the danger, and avoids that. So you will resist evil people. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Hang around the right people. If you're disciplined, you will have influence. You will have influence. It kind of goes along with a good reputation. Proverbs 13:18. Poverty and disgrace come to him who ignores instruction, and whoever heeds reproof is honored. When you speak, people listen. They will respect you. So benefits. So what area of your life, in what area of your life do you need to make changes? We accept the principle importance of discipline in most every other area of life, but for some reason we tend to think or hope that spirituality comes naturally. We're in the middle of the World Series right now. It's like one of the guys last night hit a grand slam home run. I told Teresa, I said, you know, isn't that every kid's dream to hit a home run, a grand slam home run in the World Series? Man, he probably dreamed of that as a 5-year-old. And worked all the way through, and we all the discipline and time and effort that he did, and he accomplished like the epitome of baseball, hitting a grand slam in the home run, or a grand slam in the World Series. Wow. And we realize it's because he was disciplined or whatever. We accept it in all these other areas of life, but again, when it comes to spirituality, we think we're going to pray a prayer, and it's just all of a sudden going to happen. Now, we pray a prayer. We ask for God's help. We make decisions. We make commitments. I'm not minimizing those things. But he gives very clear instruction that with God's help and with his strength, there's value in disciplining your life toward godliness. Godliness involves sustained daily effort. So, upon listening to these principles here today, these truths, I know they can be applied to many of the areas of which we've spoken. Diet, exercise, sports, work, school, studying, you can take all of that. But that stuff is, let's say, like this, just a little part of it. And I'm asking you to evaluate your walk with God. Because this has the benefit for the life that is to come. And just think, where are you in your walk with God? And will you take a step and make a decision, say, you know what, I am going to discipline myself toward godliness. That may mean you've never really read or studied the Bible, and you're going to start. And so I would encourage you, we might say, 3 times this week to start reading the Bible in the book of John. Just start in the book of John. Say, 3 times, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And start with a chapter. So it may be maybe just starting a little bit, and then think, who is Jesus and what did he do? And then what difference does that make in my life? That's an important question to ask you. How should I live out what I'm learning about Jesus in the book of John? What difference does that make in how I live? There are others of you, you have a rich time in studying the Bible. It may mean making a commitment, say, okay, now I need to see it making a difference in a specific area in my life. Whatever area that might be. It may be the matter of finances, to control your spending, in a way that brings honor and glory to God. So you're thinking about biblical principle and how it applies to your life situations, as opposed to just reading the Bible and say, there, I've read my Bible today, and I'm good to go. No, what is God's Word saying to me and how it transforms into living my life? It's going to take discipline to help you do that. And I'm asking you to evaluate your walk with God and think about, how do the principles of discipline help me in that part of my life? Let's ask for God's help. Heavenly Father, thank you for these truths here today. This is not the final word on discipline. You speak of discipline in many other areas of your word. But as we've rehearsed and reviewed this here today, we need your help. And I pray that everyone here would be thinking about, how can I use these principles from your word to make a difference in my life this week? With heads bowed and eyes closed, I just encourage you, ask you, to ask for God's help in that. Understanding that apart from Christ, you can do nothing. Understanding that if you're not a child of God, you would become a Pharisee if you try to apply these principles. It's worthless because of your own efforts. You need to come to Jesus in salvation. And I'd like everyone to fill out a connection card. You can do that from the pew in front of you, from YouVersion, or from our website. And I'd just be curious to know in what way that you are committed to disciplining your life. If it's personal, if it's private, check for pastors only. And we'll be praying for you as you grow in these areas, asking for God's help. And you can place your connection card in the offering, as we're going to take an offering here in just a moment. And I would submit that giving faithfully is a discipline. It's a discipline. And I would encourage you, ask you to discipline yourselves to give faithfully unto the Lord through the ministry of First Baptist Church.